All right, Luke chapter 2, Jesus said, I must. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Glad you're here. Good to see each one of you. Look at verse 41. Now his parents, talking about Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. How many got Luke 2:41? And when he was 12, talking about Jesus being 12 years old, verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph, notice the scripture there too, Brian. And Joseph and his mother. When you got the King James Bible, you got the right Bible. Amen. See, Joseph wasn't his father. He just was a stepdad, took care of him. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. How many can say amen? Do you see how the distinction? Mary was his mother, but Joseph was. He said Joseph and his mother. I like the way the Bible tells it. The King James Bible's got it right, doesn't it? And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among his kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. You know, there's thousands of people, and they're all going to caravan. And a lot of times the kids run with the kids, and so the parents don't even think about it. A lot. They stay with each other. And after about a day, Mary and Joseph say, hey, where's Jesus? Kind of like, Where'd we put that kid at? One time I left two senior citizens. We went to the barn over there in Smithville. And 50 seniors, and we 40-some seniors, and we put them on the bus, and I didn't count them all. You know what? We left two of them. Sometimes you can even lose big kids. That's why, Josh, you bus workers, get a head count before you leave. They forgave me, though. God bless them. It wasn't intentional. So don't say, what's wrong with Mary and Joseph? You've done it yourself. We've all can do it. Amen? Look at verse 40. And it came to pass, and it always does, by the way, that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus drilling the doctors. You know why? Because he was a great physician. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Yeah, when you, like if you lost Jimmy, Bobby, for a couple days, you're happy to see him. But you're mad too. You want to hug him and kiss him and you want to shake him too at the same time. How many know what I'm talking about? You scared the life out of me. I was worried so much. Whoa. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, I guarantee you Mary was the same way. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it? Look at verse 49. Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus said, Mom, I know you're concerned, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm about my Father's business. Mom, I must do this. Mom, what I had to do, I had to do. This was a must. Did you know, how many of you ever said, I must do this, or I must go there, I must do that? How many ever said that? I took a study on this, Eddie. 6 times Jesus used those two words, I must. 6 times. 4 times in the book of Luke, and 2 times in John. And I'm going to try to share them to you within the next 25 minutes. I'm going to share those 6 particular, and they're all different, by the way. Everyone's different. But he said, I must be about my Father's business. Today I want you to listen to me about what Jesus said, I must. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this truth that you gave me in the Word of God. We couldn't learn from no one greater than our own Savior. Help us to learn from our Savior today. Help us to have those kind of I must in our life. And Father, bless us, and Holy Spirit of God, would you come down right now? Draw us all close to you. Holy Ghost of God, come down. Go up through every aisle. Go through every pew. Help the hearers to hear. Help the hearts to be open. Help me to speak for you. Help me to preach well for you, that I could be a blessing to the people. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus makes this tremendous statement to Mary and Joseph. I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father. I mean, he's 12 years old. Listen, from a young child, Jesus' main focus and main purpose was his life. Listen, he's only 12 years old. Listen to me, young people. This is not just for old people. This is not just for the old senior saints with the gray hair. Jesus' main focus and main purpose was doing his Father's business. And when you read verse 42, you find out he's only 42. He's only 12 years old. I mean, you're talking about our Savior, Brother Bobby. And as a young man, young child, 12 years old, his main focus, his main purpose was the Father's business. Can anyone say amen? I mean, think about this. I wrote a question. What's our main focus in life? No matter how old you are today, what's your main focus in life? What's your main purpose in life? It ought to be like Jesus' main focus. Can I say my main focus, my main purpose ought to be the same as Jesus? What was his? Our Father's business. By the way, if your main focus is not the Father's business, you got your must wrong. Hello? Stay with me. What is the Father's business? What is the Father's business? Hold your hand in Luke. Don't leave it, because we're going to come. But I want you to turn to John chapter 3, a familiar scripture. Here's God's business. This is God's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. What is God's business? Well, you look at John 3. Look at verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And boy, his main business was getting Jesus to the cross, dying, shedding his blood for our sins, and raising that so he could give us salvation through his shed blood. Can anyone say amen? Look at John 3:16. For God, so here's the business of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him what? Might be saved. What's God's business? God's in the saving business. There's no business more important than God's business. God's business is winning people to Christ. Listen, I don't care what's going on in your life. The most important thing in life for you or for me, anyone else, is that people get saved. That people get saved, because if they're not saved, they die and go to hell. And just like heaven's forever, hell's forever. Notice, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. No. But the world through him what? Say it with me. Might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does a man have to do to go to hell? Nothing. He's already on his way to hell. What you got to do is you got to be what Jesus said in John 3:3. You must be born again. And by the way, that's God's business. Jesus said, I got to be about my Father's business. But ladies and gentlemen, can I say, that's one reason we took a couple days and did this seed line. Brother Bobby, that's God's business. Bearing precious seed is God's business. We're gonna put an emphasis on, and I'm gonna really crack the whip and get some of you out here that's never been out. We're gonna go door to door, and we're gonna do God's business because we mean business. I'm going to Dr. Tuesday at 11 o'clock up in Middlefield so he can put some in my leg so I can walk because I got important things to do. God's business is important. I need my leg so I can do my Father's business. How about you? Can anyone say amen? Do we care about God's business? Do we really make the Father's our Father's business our business? Well, now you're meddling, preacher. I'm going to tell you, God's business ought to be our business. Jesus ought to have number one priority in our life. Look at the second time Jesus made that statement, I must. He said, I must do my Father's business. Look at 4:43. Chapter 4, verse 43. He said unto them in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. How many see that? I must preach. You know what? You can't, if you're going to do God's business, there's got to be preaching. There's got to be the word of God involved because no one can get saved without hearing the word of God. So then faith cometh by and hearing by the. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was concerned about his Father's business, and he said, I must be about my Father's business, number one. I must preach. People are saved by hearing preaching. We must get God, the Word of God, to the lost world. Otherwise, they won't get saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what? A lot of times we get ashamed of the gospel. So, I even detected when you sang that song this morning, saved by the blood of the crucified one. You ever notice it gets kind of lower? Did you ever notice that, Mark? They don't sing as loud. You know why? There's a shame to the gospel. People, you could be, I guarantee you, I could go anywhere and these where you men work or in places of business, and you could talk about the Cleveland Indians, especially Cleveland Browns right now. They're all excited about their new season stuff. You could talk about the Browns, but I guarantee if I mentioned one thing about Christ crucified, it would get quiet right now. Man, you just wrecked the party, preacher. I mean, people be laughing, carrying on, and the moment, I mean, you can talk about Joshua Cribbs and whoever else the quarterback is and the other people that they got, and boy, you go on and on, but boy, you mentioned Jesus being an all-star. Oh, 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 I'm coming, Martha. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said, don't marvel that the world hates you. They hate me first. But there's a shame connected. And that even when you sing that blood, that's why I said, get up and sing that song. There's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm proud of that blood that was shed for me. Jesus said, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, look up here. If we don't get the word of God out, people can't get saved. Jesus said, I got to preach it. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Listen, I want you to hold your hand in Luke. And look at another scripture in Romans with me. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 14. Romans 10:14. Oh, we all know verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad whoever calls out can be saved. Amen? Amen. But look at the process there, though. How then shall they call on him? We all want people to call on them, don't we? How many want people to call and get saved? But he said, all right, you want them to get saved. You want to hear them get saved. You want to be that boy. When you lead someone to Christ, that's the most exciting time in your life, I'm telling you. Look at verse 14. Well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And also they hear without a preacher. It's going to take a lot of witnesses, a lot of preachers going out telling people about Christ. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I must preach. He knew the only way to get people, to do God's business, to get people saved, it must be by the preaching of the Word of God. Look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? By the way, we all are sent. As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How can say amen? Look up here. Boy, Brother Mark, when we go out Saturdays and we're carrying those gospel tracts and John and Romans, you know what, Brother Mike? We're carrying out the blessings of God, the gospel of God. See, I don't care what your feet look like. The Bible says those that take it out, how beautiful the feet are. See, those are beautiful feet that are carrying out the gospel. See, a lot of people don't have beautiful feet because you want to beautify your feet, you don't need Mary Kay. Does a lot for your face, though. But you want to have beautiful feet? Take the gospel out. Amen. How beautiful of feet are those that take it. You know what, folks? We got to get excited. Look up here. United States is going down the tubes. There's only one hope for America. And I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. The White House doesn't have the answer. It's the church house. They might have some social things for you, but when it comes to knowing Christ as Savior, the only one is the people of God taking out the gospel of God. Amen? I'm going to tell you, did you know it's impossible to be saved without the Word of God? It's impossible to be saved. You people must hear. Look up here. If people don't hear the Word of God, they can't be saved. So then faith cometh by? And hearing by the? Jesus said, how beautiful are the feet? Those take it out. So Jesus said, I must, number one, I must what? Help me. I must be about my Father's business. Number two, Jesus said, I must preach. Number three, look at Luke 13:33. Boy, this is a tremendous verse. Nevertheless, Luke 13:33. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. How many see that? I got something from that. I know there's more than one teaching, but I got some thoughts from that, Brother Coolidge. I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. In other words, Jesus had an attitude that God's work was never ended. See, sometimes we get complacent. We say, it really doesn't matter. I think I'll take a break and let up on God. Jesus said, I'm not going to ever let up. I must keep going day after day after day. I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. Jesus had an attitude that the God's work was never ended. No quitting allowed. Jesus showed us that every day is as important as the next day. You know, sometimes Christians take vacations on God. They serve a while and then they stop. But Jesus is nonstop. He just keeps. Now, by the way, I know that third day he arose from the grave too, by the way. I know people, because, you know, he didn't even stop at death, Brian. He just kept on going. Can anyone say amen? That third day up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from a dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah! He's alive! Amen. Jesus said, I must walk. You know what? He saw the importance of every day. Do we look at every day as being important? You don't know who you're going to meet today, but we need to be prepared to meet them. And Brother Mike, we need to have that heart to want to meet them. We need to have the message to tell them. Not just tomorrow or the next day, but the Bible says, Jesus said, I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following. In other words, there was never a let up. Every day was vital to Christ. We ought to treat every day, I must do something for God today. I must do something for God tomorrow. I must do something for God the next day. I must. See, Jesus was a must kind of guy. Can anyone say amen? Jesus said in Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. Stay busy. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't quit. And don't keep doing the work of God. And don't ever stop till I call you up. In other words, I must read my Bible every day. I must pray every day. I must seek God's face every day. I must go to church every week. I must bring my tithe in every week. There are certain things that we must have an attitude. Look up here. You know what the trouble is? We don't do things. We don't have the must attitude. Well, I might. No, don't have a might. Have a must. Jesus didn't have a, if I can work it in. Well, maybe. He wasn't a maybe. He wasn't a might. He was a I must. You know what he was telling us? You must. You must. You must. Can anyone say amen? I said, Jesus said in number one in Luke 2:49, I must what? I said, Jesus said also in Luke 4:43, I must preach. I said in Luke 13:33, Jesus said, I must walk today and tomorrow. Can anyone say amen? In Luke 19:15, look at Luke 19:15. Luke 19 verse 5. I'll get it out. I'm trying to get it in. Luke 19:5. Six times Jesus made that statement, I must. Would to God we'd have that kind of attitude in our life. I must be about my Father's business. I must preach. I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. In other words, nothing's going to stop me. I'm just going to keep on keeping on doing the work of God, reaching people for Christ, sending out missionaries, going with the gospel. I must. It's not an attitude. Should we? No, I must. We don't have to pray about going out on Saturdays. We must go. By the way, though, I like what you prayed, Brother Mike, in the morning. It's not just one day a week. No, listen, I carry tracts with me every day of my life. I keep them in my cars. I keep them in my church. Look, I must tell people about Christ every day that I'm on this earth. Look up here. This is the kind of attitude we ought to get. Boy, you're pretty dogmatic. Jesus was. I must be about my Father's business. I must preach. I must go today, tomorrow, and the following day. I must. How many are getting the picture here? I think Jesus, our Savior, was dogmatic. Amen? I'll pray about it, preacher. You got to pray about it. There's some things you don't pray about. They're already commanded in the Bible to do. Luke 19:5. Look what, you know the story about little Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree. We have fun in super church singing with the kids. Zacchaeus was a little guy. He climbed up a sycamore tree. Boom, boom. You might see. Zacchaeus, come on down. Real fast. Super church. Because I'm going to my home today. How many know the song Little Zacchaeus? It's a great, I know, not that one. I just made that up. But there is one that they have for the bus workers in the super church. It's a great story about little fellow that small in stature, that really wanted to see Christ, but the crowd was all there, and he ran ahead, climbed up a tree, just so he could see Christ. But I'm amazed at the words that Jesus said to him in verse 5. If you look at 19:5 of Luke, when Jesus came to the place, you know, there's a place where we all got saved, wasn't there? There's a song. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Aren't you glad he did come? I'm glad he came to me. Because, by the way, no man comes to the Father. He calls all of us. He drew us. He called us. Amen? No man seeketh after God. It's God, the Holy Spirit that draws us. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. That's a good place to do, look up. Amen? And he saw him. By the way, he sees you today. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today, look what it says, I must abide at thy house. How many see that? Jesus said, I must abide at thy house. Listen, not only did Jesus come down from that tree that day, and not only did he invite Jesus, invite him to his house, Zacchaeus invited him in his heart as a Savior. And if you'll see in verse 9, that Jesus said, this day's salvation has come to his house. Can I say this to you? To you and your family and every one of your friends and people that you meet and acquaintance? If you want to go to heaven, if you want your sins forgiven, and you want to escape the fires and depths of hell, you must abide at Jesus' house. You must let Jesus come to your house. See, you got to let Christ come into your heart. See, our bodies are tabernacle. The Bible, our bodies is the house. Our tabernacle. How many are with me? And you got to let Christ come in. He wants to abide with us. If you want to go to heaven, there's got to be a day in your life that you came down. See, we got to get down where we are, where we need to be. We got to put Jesus. We got to get down and see that we need Christ. One man was telling me the other day, it was Billy or somebody was telling me, he said, man, I realized I was lost and going to hell. And I said, that's great, because no one goes to heaven until they know they're going to hell. Yeah. If you never saw yourself going to hell, you're not going to heaven. Because you got to get lost before you get saved. Jesus said, in Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. All people are lost until you get Christ to come in your house, come in your life, come in your heart. You're not saved. Your sins aren't forgiven. You don't have that mansion in heaven. You don't have that blood that you sang about. You want to be in, and by the way, Christian, if you want to be about your Father's business, you got to let him come into your house. He's got to be the center of your home. He's got to be the focus of your life. Can anyone say amen? By the way, if you're here visiting today, or even if maybe here, you know, there's a lot of people, members of churches, and then one day God shows them they're not saved. I was a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church for a year before I realized, man, I'm a lost sinner going to hell. Saved, was on the rolls, been baptized, prayed in the church. People thought, man, this rich guy, this Galena still dead. This guy's going to be doing something big for God. I was on my way to hell and didn't even know it. Boy, we got to realize that we need to invite Christ in there. And I was reading the Bible that night read the Bible every day, Rod. Had religion. Said a prayer with a preacher. Didn't get me to heaven, though. One night I was reading the Bible like I did every day, and for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner and I was going to hell. And I realized if I didn't ask Christ to save me, I was going to die and go to hell. And I didn't want to. How many want to go to hell? I sure don't. And I got down on my knees from an old green couch. Never forget it. Me and Rosie paid $110 for the couch, the chairs, the lamps, and everything. We first got married. You kids that get married, don't go in debt. Buy stuff for cash. If you can't get new, just get used stuff. That's good enough. You know, we used that furniture for 5 or 6 years. And I wanted to give it to Rosie's aunt, and she still charged her $50. Rosie said, I'm giving that away. It's too good. I used that for, we only paid $60 for all that stuff. Can you imagine that? Plus, I got saved at that couch. Look up here. I'm glad there was a day that I saw Jesus come by. And I was up in that sycamore tree. And I heard Jesus call to me, come on down. I must abide at your home today. And I'm, Brother Mark, I'm so glad that day I heard him and that I came down. And he's been with me ever since. Can anyone say amen? Talk to me now. Jesus said in number one, Luke 2:49, Jesus said what? I must be? Yes. Jesus said number two, Luke 2:43, I must? Yep. Number three, Jesus said in Luke 13:33, I must. Yep. And in Luke 19:5, number four, I must. Is he abiding in your house? Have you invited him into your heart and life? And then, by the way, Christian, once you're saved, you're always saved. But is he the center of your home? He must be. If you're gonna really have a successful life for Christ, if your life's gonna really count, he must abide with you. Amen. And then look at John chapter 9, verse 4. Number 5. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus said, I must work. How many see John 9, 4? I must work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus made it perfectly clear. Doing God's word work is not optional. Jesus made it perfectly clear. Doing God's work is not optional. It's a must. I must do God's work. I must be about God's business. I must. Jesus had a job to do. Jesus came to earth for a purpose. And by the way, you've got a job to do. You've got a purpose in this life. We need to do it too. Jesus said, and I quoted earlier, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which was lost. Hebrews 2:9 says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I'm going to tell you right now, Christ had a job to do. He had a goal to do, and he did what he was supposed to do. Are we doing what we are supposed to do? He did the work that God sent him for. I must work the work. He said, time's running out. I must work the work. Are we doing the work? Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. I'm going to tell you, Christians, we have a job to do. We have a purpose for our life. There is an urgency to do God's work now. Jesus said, night cometh when no man can work. You know, about a month ago, Billy Turner preached on a Wednesday night from Luke 4:40. When the sun was setting. Haven't forgot that message. When the sun was setting. You know, and by the way, it is setting on America. And it's setting on the world. And the sun is setting and night's almost ready to come here. And I'm going to, you know what? Most Christians, we know it's coming, but we don't care. We just let light go by and don't try to make an effect for anyone else's life. By the way, I got a kick. When you read those scriptures above that, where the sun is setting in Luke 4:14, I got a kick out of that. Don't get mad at me when I'm going to say something to get you a little riled. I figured Brother Dave riled you up in the morning. I'd be nice to you. Good preaching, by the way. I like it when he lets it fly. It says that Jesus came and they brought all kinds of people for him to heal. Did you know he healed someone before they, you know, he healed someone. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. It says there in the verses above that she had a fever and he touched her and as soon as he healed her immediately, and the Bible says she immediately started to minister to him. See, Jesus didn't save us just to set on our. We're saved to serve. Ephesians says we're created in Christ unto good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. How many are still with me? And by the way, can I ask some fun, get you really keyed up a little bit? I was thinking about the Baptist church, how Jesus started the local church. Boy, all those people that say Peter was the first pope. Boy, that's going to mess them up because Peter had a mother-in-law. Think about it. By the way, Can I really get you going? Constantine started the Roman Catholic Church around 325, right in that area. Get the historian. I might be on history. It's in the 325 AD, somewhere in there. We had already been, our church had already been here for 325 years. See, if you take a study in all the churches, every church has got a founder for it, a man for a founder. Our founder is not a man. He's a son of God. And by the way, I'm starting in the 1800s, 1700s. Boy, go to our church. We're celebrating 200 years and 150 years, 110 years. Man, I'm glad I'm celebrating over 2,000 years because I was my Savior is the founder of my church. Amen. Hello? See, you want to be in the right church. And the right church is the one that Christ started. Amen? I just thought I'd throw that in there. I just got a chuckle the other day thinking about it. What's it got to do with the message? Not a thing. Not a thing. But I love talking about it. Now let me fire you here in just a minute. We must reach people now. Now's the time to reach lost souls for Christ. Jesus said, I must work the work of him. I must do the work because night's coming. In other words, hey, I don't have time. I got to do the work now because night's coming when no man can work. We're running out of time, Christ said. Now's the time to reach lost souls. Now's the time to run those bus routes. Now's the time to reach those kids. By the way, I heard Brother Weston a couple of now's the time to reach those hurting people and brokenhearted and lonely and discouraged. Wes gave a testimony. Don't say, how could he say that? A lot of you felt the same things a lot of times in your life. Yep. You might not felt like running in front of a truck, but there's something else that you might have felt like thinking of doing. Hello? Yep. Can I tell you something? Wes McDaniel is doing good now. By the way, he knew the Savior. Before he had the Savior with him. I'm glad he had the Savior to take him through it. Yes. Had he not had the Savior, he might have ran in front of that truck. I'll tell you what stopped you, Wes. It was the Holy Spirit said, no, 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 you're a child of God. No. But I'm going to tell you something. There's thousands of people out there today. They're hurting. There's thousands of people hurting and discouraged and depressed and lonely looking for an answer. And I'm going to tell you right now, night's coming. Night's coming when no man can work. And we need to get out with a fervency like Christ and say, I must reach him now. I must reach him now. I must, I must, I must, I must, I must, I must, I must reach him now. Because tomorrow might be too late. You got a family member today that you know that's not saved. You ought to leave this church building today and go call them or go to their house and say, listen, I love you, Christ. You need to be saved. Let me show you how to get saved so you can go to heaven when you die. See, they must be saved today. They must need the message today. You got to get that attitude. We must get it to them now because tomorrow's too late. Some of you got good friends and you know they're lost. And you day after day goes by. You don't pray for him. You don't witness to him. You don't call him. You don't write a letter to him. You never give him a track. How much must do you have behind your life? Not very much. And if we die, if they die, that blood's going to be on your hands. Can I say this to you? Years ago, I was preaching a message. I know it's 12 o'clock, and I'm almost done. Years ago, I was preaching a message in Columbiana Baptist Temple in Columbiana, Ohio. And I shared about my dad. I shared about how my dad was my best friend and how I kept putting off trying to get him saved. And I shared how one night when I came home from work, we worked together before I was in the ministry, and I'd just been saved a few years, and we worked second shift together. And I had a Buick, a 68 Buick. Grand Sport. Man, it could move. It moved. I got tickets to prove it. And some bald tires. I bent the key on it. And I took it down. My dad said, come on. We went down the basement. He put my key in there and the vise and straightened it. And he said, here you go, son. I said, oh, thanks, Dad. I'll see you tomorrow. You see, my dad was my best friend. I hunted with my dad. I fished with my dad. I worked with my dad. My best friend was my dad. I'm telling you, my best friend was I did everything with my dad. You say one thing about my dad, I'll punch you in the nose. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I love my dad. But my dad never took me to church. My dad never prayed with me once. And I knew if my dad didn't get saved, he would die and go to hell. I remember hugging him and saying, I love you, Dad. Walked out the door and went home. About 3 hours later, my mother called me at 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, Rich, get down here. Something real bad's wrong with your dad. Come here right now, Rich. Get down here. Something's real bad with your dad. Boy, I jumped out of the bed. I told Rose, something's wrong with my dad. He's going to die. I don't know why I said that. I got about halfway down the stairway, and I got down on my knees and I started to pray. Oh God, don't let my dad die before he gets saved. Oh God, don't let my dad die with him before he gets saved. Oh God, save my dad. Oh God, save my dad. Tears were flowing. You know what? I wish I'd been that concerned about my dad before he ever had that massive stroke. Yeah, I ran down, stayed right by my dad. He had a massive stroke. He was in the hospital for 7 days. I never left my dad. I didn't go back to work. They gave me a leave. I don't know. They must have gave me a leave because I told him I'm not going to leave my dad. I love my dad more than anyone. I think I love him more than my mother. He was my best friend. And my dad had a massive stroke. And my dad couldn't even open his eyes, couldn't talk. In the first couple days, I said, Dad, if you can hear me, squeeze my finger. In the first couple of days, he would squeeze my finger, and I'd tell him how to be saved, and I'd tell him how much Christ loved him, and I'd say, Dad, please get saved, and I prayed with him over and over and over. And then on January 18th at 12 noon, he died. 7 days later, my dad went. He died at 12:20. I was the last one to be with my dad. And I watched my dad go out in eternity. I wish I would add an urgency for my dad before the time came. You see, Jesus said, I must. See, and I told this, there was a couple in that church in Columbiana with Brother Clark, and they got so convicted, they went home, and they called their dad, and they went and saw their dad, and their dad got saved, and they wrote back and said, Preacher, we were so moved after you told the story about your dad, that we said, we're not going to let our dad go to hell. We're not going to let him go to hell. We're not. Would to God some of you get some conviction today and say, man, I love those people who are still alive. They still got a chance to be saved. Why don't you go out and tell them about Christ? Why don't you get saved today? You're in there, you've never been saved. Tell the devil to go to hell. You come and get saved. Because that's where he's going. We need to have some conviction about now. That's why we got to run those buses. We got to run the buses, Josh, because those little kids might not get saved. I could tell you a story. Little Carrie Woods, I used to run buses in Toledo. I know it's after 12, but I don't care. We used to drive in a dead-end street on our buses, and I used to run them for Liberty Baptist. 3 years I ran the bus route. My bus ran almost 100 every week. Between 75 and 100 every week. I remember when little Carrie Helms got saved, 10 years old. A few weeks later, his mama called and said, by the way, we had the bus driver, God bless you bus drivers, Danny Bud Skiles had to drive down a dead-end street. He had to drive down a dead-end street and then back the bus all the way up because Carrie lived at the very end. So we drove the bus all the way, and then he had to back it up. Do you ever try to drive a bus down a whole street backwards? God bless those bus drivers and bus workers. And I'm glad. I remember little Carrie got saved. He said, hey, preacher, I got saved. And I hugged Carrie, and I was so excited. A couple weeks later, they called me. Little Carrie got in a car accident. He died. I'm so glad that we ran down the buses. I'm so glad that we got to get the. I'm glad we got the gospel to carry before he left this world. Yes. Are you listening to me? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I must preach. I must go today, tomorrow, then the next day. He said, look at your scripture there. I must work the works of him that sent me. That's why we're going to go out this Saturday. Bobby, that's why we did the seed line this year. We're going to do it next year too if he doesn't come back. We must. Night's coming. We must work. We must go. We must tell. We must care. We must do the work of God. Someone needs to hear. We need to care. Scripture says in Psalms, I went to my left, I went to my right. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Psalms 142, verse 4, I think it is. We need to care, Brother Mike. That's why you wear your badge. You want to tell someone about Christ. Care. Don't ever quit caring. Am I getting through to anybody today? We must. We must do it while we got time. And I'm going to close with this. John 10:6. This is so 10:16. This is so exciting, Brian. Man, I want to just look up here. I'm going to try it. 270 pounds. Let's see if the old fat boy can do it. Yeah. Click my heels. Crush. Glad they strengthened that. Do you see what 10:16 says and I'm all done? First of all, number one, Luke 2:49, Jesus said, I must what? Should we be about the Father's business? Number two, Luke 4:43, Jesus said, I must. Should we be out preaching? Luke 13:33, Jesus said, I must walk today. Should we be walking every day for Christ? Luke 19:5, I must what? Abide at thy house. John 9:4, I must work the works that sent me. Night cometh. I'm going to tell you, the sun's ready to set. Night's ready to come. But listen to me, Bethel. Jesus is coming soon. All the preachers I talked about, all the old-time preachers, all the signs are with us. I'm telling you, we are in the last days. Christ is coming back. Brother, people believe it. He's coming back. Night's coming. We must work. We must put the word of God. We must do seed line. We must have vacation Bible school. We must go soul winning. We must do this because time's running out. But I love this 10:16. Woo! I love this, Brian. Jesus, John 6, 10:16. I must bring. Woo, man. How many see John 10:16? Look at John 10:16. Jesus said, and other sheep, you're that other sheep. We're the sheep that got saved afterwards. There's sheep that got saved while he was there, but now he's gone back to heaven. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also, what? I must bring. Yabba-dabba-doo! Oh, yes! I must bring that other sheep. Not just those saved back in my time. Not just those saved in the Old Testament. See, he took the Old Testament. The Old Testament saints couldn't go up to heaven. They were waiting for the blood atonement from Christ. That's why when Christ died, and that's when he died on the Calvary and shed his blood, and after he said, it's finished, the temple rent. And you said in Matthew 20, that the saints of God walked around. They came up out of the graves. Ephesians talking about how he led captivity. Those who are captive out of captivity. Look up here. All the Old Testament saints are in heaven right now. But he said, you know what? I'm not going to forget you, Eddie. I'm not going to forget you either, Lizzie. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to seal you. I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to set you free. Can anyone say amen? And then one day, I'm going to bring you up. I must bring, look what it says. I must bring them. How many see that? How many see that? Woo, I must. Hey, Eddie, I'm not worried if Jesus is coming back. He said, I must. I must. Jesus was referring to us, those who would be saved in the future. Jesus was not going to forget us. He's not going to leave us alone. Jesus is not going to leave us behind. He's not going to leave us out. He said, I wrote this down, glory to God. Amen. Boy, I was so excited. I must bring others who trust me as their personal Savior in the future up to heaven with me also. Praise God. I'm glad he's going to bring us too. There's a song. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's coming for you and me. He said, I must bring them. Aren't you glad he's a must kind of a Savior? I'm glad he's a must kind of a Savior. We ought to be a must, I must kind of a Christian. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we had in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts the six I must. Help us to think about these six I must that Christ talked about. Four times in the book of Luke, two times in the book of John. Six, a number of man. God made man on the sixth day. Six, a number of the world for man. Gave a truth for man that I must do my Father's business. That's why he went to Calvary, suffered and died for us. I must win people to Christ. I must raise from the dead. I must come back again. I must prepare a place for them in heaven. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm positive I'm saved. And if I died, I know I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I think you may put him down. How many would be honest with yourself and honest with God? And you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure. And I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Just raise your hand, let me pray for you. Who'd say that? Yes. Yes, I see a hand there. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Let me raise again, let me see. Who else? Yes, God bless you. Who else? Preacher, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I'm looking, there's a lot of people here today. Hard for me to cover both sides at once. Preacher, pray for me. I wonder, Christian, before I pray, are you going to be like me with my dad? Do you have a loved one or a good friend that's not saved and you know they're not saved and you've been putting off witnessing to them? And really, if they died right now, you'd have heartache because you didn't warn them like you should with tears. How many say, preacher, pray for me? I do have loved ones and I need to witness to them and I haven't. Who's yes? Yes. 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 Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. You know, some of you ought to be down here on your knees right now praying, God, help me to witness to that person before they die and go to hell. You ought to be asking God to give you wisdom and power that you could go out and witness today. Say, God, help me. God, help me to be a witness. And you that raised your hand said, preacher, I don't want to die without Christ. Would you look up here for me? You meant that, didn't you? I know you did, man. I want you to come. No one's looking. Just come. I got a lady here. She'll show you how to get saved. That's right. You just come. That's right. Amen. You just come. Jesus is going to save you right now. That's right. Tammy Lynn, get your Bible, honey. This lady's coming. Katie, there's a baby there, too. Could you help Tammy? Just both of you ladies go with her. That lady wants to be saved. Praise God. Yes, ma'am, you come. You just, that's right. Amen. 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 That's right. Praise God. In the Bible, Deborah. Amen. God bless you, Nell. God bless you, Nell. There's a lady that got a package on the door and came to our church. Tell me, is that important? Help me, Ben, Brother Mike. Someone gave her a track. She came because of the track. 2 weeks and now she's saved and getting saved right now. That's what it's all about. That's what God's business is all about. People getting saved from eternal hell. Because hell's real, heaven's real. Jesus coming back, time's running out. We must do the work of God while we can. And we must do all we can while we can. Night cometh when no man can work. The sun is setting. Billy Turner preached them, and it is, the sun is setting. There are a lot of hurting people out there, and the sun's, and the Bible says in Luke 4:40, it said he healed them all. They brought all the people with different diseases and different things, and he healed all because, Brother Coolidge, there ain't a person that Jesus can't heal. There's not a person that Jesus can't help. There's not a person that Jesus don't have the answer for their life. We just got to bring them. We just got to bring them. See, we got to bring them to Jesus before the sun sets. Because he can heal them all. He can. And he will. Because the sun's setting. Heavenly Father, help these people to be saved today. Lord, there was two ladies that came forward. There might be more. And then, Lord, there's Christians here. I know they got, Lord, don't let them be like me. Don't let them think they got another day that they could put it off. Jesus said today, tomorrow, and the day following. He never let up. He never let up. He knew that every day was vital. He knew that every day was important. Matter of fact, every day was just as important as the day before or the day next. Help us to have that urgency in our heart. God, help us to have that urgency, I pray. And Lord, for these people that pray for their families to be saved, I pray you, Holy Spirit of God, fill them and help them to go with the power of God today and tomorrow and this week, and help them to win them to Christ before it's too late. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.